Next year will be delivered by Rabbi Mordechai Benowitz. Rabbi Benowitz is a senior member of Kol Avot HaSlevi. He's also the Shol Meshev, Rabbi Chaim Kazman's Blatshir. Rabbi Mordechai Benowitz.
Shalom Aleichem, everybody. It's been my privilege to learn with many of your sons in Rav Kazman's Shir, as the guys have come to Rav Kazman's Shir. I was asked a little while ago to say a shir during this Yarchi Kala. I was thinking about what to say. Till a great controversy came to my attention, and I thought this was the perfect thing to talk about at Yarchi Kala for fathers and sons. One of the greatest areas of debate and the most raging discussions and arguments is well known is about whether or not you say Avarachamim and Shol on Shabbos. And the reason is because everybody feels like if it's a question of Yeridaya, a question of Basa B'chalav, a question in sort of esoteric halachas, you ask a Rav, you don't need to know. But when it comes to shilas that are, you know, Shul shilas, like I daven in Shul every day, I daven in Shul every week, I know exactly what's supposed to go on. Everybody feels like they know what's supposed to happen, and they feel like they're big man to Amr. So what happened? What happened was, this shilas was brought to my attention by my uncle, Rabbi Vadi Yudkovsky. He said what happened was on Simchas Torah, he bought Hagban Glila. He bought Hagban Glila. He was going to give Hagba to his son-in-law. And I believe the way it was is he was going to give Glila to his son. And lo and behold, his son-in-law chickened out from Hagba. And who was going to do Hagba? So he said, okay, I'll do Hagba. My son will do Glila. And no problem, I'll get my money's worth. But the rabbi said, a father and a son doing Hagba and Glila, we can't do such a thing. And the rabbi didn't like it. So, you know, this was real hard-earned money on his winning auction bid to get the Hagban Glila. He was not so happy about not being able to do it for himself and his son. So he was trying to find Rias here and there, going through the whole sugya, the Paiskim, from top to bottom, to prove that really father and son could do Hagban Glila, no problem. It became a raging debate whether or not a father and son could do Hagban Glila. So he was telling me about this, and I thought this would be a perfect discussion to have with fathers and sons, grandfathers. I think there's a couple grandfathers and grandchildren. Whether or not this halacha, it's kind of a obscure and very specific halacha, but it's very interesting, the discussion about whether or not a father and a son can get an aliyah together. There's a couple shilas that I want to speak out. Interesting kind of possibilities of what would come up. Then we're going to talk through the debate about what the reason for this halacha is, a couple of different ramifications of that debate. Then we're going to try to speak out some svaras as to explain why this halacha is so kept so strongly. And if we have time, we get a little bit into the hashkafic inyan, which I believe can be learned from this whole halacha. So the three shilas that I would like to present, and we take the discussion from the discussion that we're going to have, we'll see if we can answer these shilas, are Hagban Glila. What's the story with Hagban Glila? Every gabbai knows that Hagban Glila you don't give to father and son, but really is that such an important thing? Where does that come from? And when? Question number two, this actually happened this past Shabbos. This past Shabbos, my brother had a bar mitzvah, and we made our own minyan. Our family made our own minyan. So there was five brothers. This is my youngest brother's bar mitzvah, so it was five brothers and my father, so that's six of us. And there was really only a very, very limited number of other people in the room. So I was wondering, you know, it's almost mostly brothers. What would happen if it would just be six of us and four other people? That would be a minyan. That was actually the original plan to only have six adult men at this minyan. Would there be any reason to be makbid, to be careful not to have a father and a son or a brother getting an aliyah next to each other? You know, after all, it's mostly brothers. It's all family here, as we say. That was one question. And another question I had when I was thinking about this, I have a very good friend, who actually was learned in the kol here for many years, who was megayer together with his family when he was 14 years old, I think. So his father, himself, at least one sister, his father and mother, at least one sister and one brother, were all megayer together. So It's his father. It's, you know, they have a full, regular family relationship. And his brother, it's his brother. You know, they have share the same last name, everything like that. Could they get an aliyah together? He's called up as Mordechai ben Avram, and his father's name is not Avram. His father's name is Yedidya. So can they be called up together? Is there any problem? Or are they father and son? They're brothers for all practical purposes, despite the fact they don't share a name for being called up for the Torah. Can they be called up together? That was my Shiloh. I actually called him up and asked him if he had ever gotten a psak about this. I was really, really hoping he would tell me, yeah, we asked this Rav, we asked that Rav, we have this psak, we have that. He said, actually, no, never. He's always wondered about it, never had an answer. So we're going to try to go through the discussion and see where it leads us. So the halacha starts, the Beis Yosef brings from the Arches Chaim. The Arches Chaim says, it seems throughout the time of the Gemara, this didn't seem to come up. It seems to me that in the time of the Rishonim early, maybe about 1,000 years ago, 700-800 years ago, that's when many of the halachas and many of the ways we do Kriyas HaTorah kind of became solidified. It used to be the standard practice was the person who got the aliyah would be the one who leaned, and many things kind of slowly got solidified at how we do the aliyah, how we stand there by the bima, and things like that slowly kind of came together about 700, 800, 600 years ago. So this discussion first, it seems to me, first kind of really came to the fore in the time of the late Rishonim, medium to late Rishonim. So the Beis Yosef quotes the Arches Chaim, says, you know why we don't have a father and son or brothers get aliyahs next to each other? It seems this was a common practice. And the question simply became, where did this practice come from? Why did this come into effect? And as we're going to see, this became a universal accepted practice throughout all areas of Klal Yisrael. So Arches Chaim says the problem is because a father and son are puzzled to aid us with each other. Brothers are puzzled to aid us together. And it says, Eidos Hashem Ne'emana, it talks about the Torah as an Eidos. And the way we want to deliver Kriyas HaTorah, the way we want to say over the Torah in the Rabbim, in the Tzibur, we want to do it with somebody who's the Ayla, who's Kashrul Eidos, the two, one Ayla, and the next Ayla, each person coming up for an Aliyah, is like saying Eidos, that this Torah is real, this Torah is true, this Torah is ours. And therefore, we don't want to have two Krivim, two relatives who are too close next to each other. Now, according to this Arches Chaim, which we're going to see is not the halacha, there's going to be a lot of very specific ways that you're going to have to understand this practice, this halacha. Number one, and first and foremost, is often discussed, is it's brought in the Elia Rabbah that there's no leeway. If you call somebody up and he's supposed to be getting an aliyah and they realize, oh, actually, we made a mistake. That guy's his brother. That guy's his son. You have to make him stop. You can't let him get the aliyah. Until you've actually done the aliyah, this is a big problem. This is part of the way we do Kriyas HaTorah. You don't have brothers and Eidos. You're not going to have the Eidos. So even if you would have called him up, you would have to make him go down. And it's spoken out that obviously you would try to give him an aliyah later. Another big difference would be that this wouldn't apply only to fathers and sons. This should be a halacha that applies kind of across the board. Anybody that's not kosher leidos, your average gambler, moms or people like that, they may not be kosher leidos, and you might not be able to let them get an aliyah. That should be kind of a basic outgrowth of this halacha. Those are kind of the two things which would be more chamer. Now, another number of things which would be more kal, it's brought down that possibly maftir is not really an eidos, really only the main aliyahs are part of this eidos idea. So the maftir, maybe it's okay if a son got a maftir. Or another thing that I saw in the footnotes to the Sefer for Shmuel Kamenetsky, Halacha Sefer, Kavitz Halachas, he says that it would seem if the problem is eidos, this idea of eidos, a whole discussion of Hag ben Glila, that whole discussion is off the table. It's only aliyos would be negeah, would be relevant if it's all about Eidos. But Hag ben Glila would not be relevant, only if it's going to be some other thing. Now, there's another possible ramification. There's not halacha anyway, but it's something to kind of keep in the back of our mind. There's a Mati Yehuda who says that the minig was, sounds like in his city, the minig was that brothers or a father and son would not get an aliyah on the same Kriya Satira, not back-to-back, nothing to do with back-to-back. The same Kriya Satira from beginning to end, you would never let a father and son get an aliyah. So much so, if you had twins who became bar mitzvah, he discusses, what are you going to do if you have these twins who became bar mitzvah? How are they both going to get an aliyah? And he discusses it as a real thing, as a serious thing. It would seem that if it would be an Eidos problem, the main problem is back-to-back and not any of the Eidim. That would seem to be the halacha. But ultimately, the Bir Agra, the Vilna Gaon, says this cannot be the reason for this halacha. I mean, again, we're all, this apparently was a universal practice that was adopted at some point, and Paiskim are trying to figure out where it came from. The Aruch Chaim said it came from, must have come from the wanting to be like an Eidus. The Gra says that it can't be, because we find there's a Beferish Gemara, which allows women or Kitanim to get an Aliyah. Obviously, a woman cannot be an aid, and a katan can't be an aid. So obviously, from that Gemara, it's clear that from the Gemara itself, and there would never develop a practice later that went directly against the Gemara, that we really have no need to make aliyahs like aidos. So must be, what's it like? So the Beis Yosef says it must be the pshat in this practice. It's like there's a kolboy, there's a Mordechai, and ultimately the Rama quotes the Maril, who says the problem is ayin hara. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, he says a very interesting way wording. He says, you're really allowed to have a father and son getting aliyah next to each other, but we don't let you because of ayin hara. And the Rama adds in that because it's ayin hara, based on the Maril, we can't call out by name, call up for the Torah, even Shvi and Maftir, because it's ayin hara problem. Again, it's not an Eidus problem, it's an ayin hara problem. We don't want to call it by name. Now, what it does sound like, based on this Maril, and based on this problem of ayin hara, that the real problem is not about getting an aliyah back-to-back. The problem is all about calling out this person should get an aliyah, and then calling out on the next person, you know, Yamoid him and Yamoid his son. That's where there becomes an ayin hara problem. So it seems that the problem is, at first glance, the problem is that just simply by announcing it, by making the announcement, I guess the expectation of these paiskim is that everybody's obviously paying attention and shul, listening carefully to, you know, the people being called up. And if two people, you know, father gets called up and the son gets called up, everybody's like, ooh, wow, we were listening and getting all kind of paying so much attention. And be very, like, bothered that two guys, two krivim, two close relatives got aliyahs right back to back. They're taking over here, we don't like it, and there'd be a certain level of ayin hara. The Mishabura also says that passings like this, just like this Ali Rab, but he says, and you can't try to circumvent this problem and say, you know what, okay, if the problem is, we say Yamoid Ruvain, and then right after we're going to say Yamoid Shimon ben Ruvain, if that's the problem, you know, we'll just call up Ruvain, and then the next aliyah will just say, you know what, Yamoid Chamishi, Yamoid Shishi, Yamoid Shvi, or Yamoid Yafter. We're just not going to mention his name. If you have a problem with calling out his name, so we won't call out his name. So the Ali Rabba says, the Mishabura Pasuk is like this, that's going to be even worse, because you're going to draw even more attention to it. If you're going to draw attention to the fact by calling his name that he's getting an aliyah and his father just got an aliyah, then by doing something weird, by saying, you know, Yamoid Shvi, and nobody does that, everybody say, well, what happened to the guy's name? Oh, it's really this guy's son, and we don't want to mention his name, so it's going to backfire, it's going to be worse. Now, the Mishmur does say in the Shaar Tzion, and it does sound like that, just like by the Teichacha, you just don't say anything. The minig in most places is for the either the Balkaire or one of the Gabayim, someone kind of standing up there, we don't want to call anybody up for the Teichacha, someone just gets up there and makes the brachas. It sounds from the Mishabura that if worse comes to worse, I mean, if you really need to, for some reason, someone has a yard site or something like that, if worse comes to worse, it's not such a big deal. It's possible to just let a guy just walk up there and not call anything. If you say, Yamud Mafter, it draws some attention, but if you just kind of, the guy gets up, everybody sort of assumes that nothing happened, they missed the name, and there's not so much attention drawn to it. Now, that's how the Mishnah Berurah passed. The Mishnah Berurah seems to say very clearly that as long as you're not calling out them by name, there'd be no problem. Now, there was a minhag. It sounds like there was certain places where there was such a minhag, at least for Mafter, not to call out by name, not to call up the Oilim by name. Sounds like in many of the Sfarish communities, in Mitzrayim, and in Egypt, there was such a minhag. Could be by all aliyas that you just kind of, you know, pointed to a guy and said, okay, you get up, or you get up, or Yamud Chamishi. You know, the Gabe gave out the cards, and, you know, you knew who you were, and you didn't need to call out the guy's name. So, according to the Mishnah Berurah, it seems that there's really no big deal. The main problem of Ayin Hara is if we draw attention to the fact we're giving two people an aliyah, but the actual fact that two people, two brothers or a father and son are getting aliyah, that's not such a big deal. Now, the Kaf Chaim brings down from a Sefer Kisei Eliyahu, he says that even so, he's not so happy about it. He says the minhag is not to do that. You know why? Because even if we're not going to call him up as Yamoid Ruvain and then Yamoid Shimon Ben Ruvain, but what happens after the Aliyah? After Aliyah, you say Mishaberach, you make it a big announcement. Mishaberach is the Avraham of Yaakov, Yivarech Es, Ruvain, and then everybody hears the next time, Mishaberach is the Avraham of Yaakov, Yivarech Es, Shimon Ben Ruvain, and everybody's going to hear it. As soon as you're calling out his name, you're drawing attention to the guy and his name and who he is, it's going to cause a sign har, we don't want to allow it. Now, this would allow us to get back to this Hagman Glila question. The Hagman Glila question, so it would seem the simple answer would be Hagman Glila, if you don't call out by name, if you don't call him up by name, which I believe is the general practice, you don't say Yamoid Ruvain, you know, Lahagba, Yamoid Shimon Leglila, as long as you don't call them out by name, according to the Mishnah Berurah, there's no problem. However, according to this Kaf Chaim, who says that anytime you mention the guy's name in public, it's already a problem, there may be an issue. Especially, and this was a big debate, in many, many shuls, the practice is, the way they do it, is for Hagman Glila, you don't call up by name, but you make a Mishaberach before the Hagba and Glila guy goes up. You make a Mishaberach. Mishaberach, this guy, because he's going up for Hagba Satira, and this guy, because he's going up for Glila Satira. Now, why is it that we make that Mishaberach before the guy goes up? Normally, you know, by an Aliyah, you make a Mishaberach after the guy goes up. So it would seem, because it's more chashev to make that Mishaberach while the Tira, the Sefer Tira, is still right there on the bima, it's more chashev to have this bracha for a person with the Sefer Torah right there. It's more chashev, so we make the bracha before. But at the same time, it does sort of kind of take the place of a kriya. You're calling out the guy's name and basically saying, this guy should get up for an aliyah, for a hagba, for a kavod, for a hagba, for a glila. Even though we don't kind of word it like that, we don't say Yamoid, we say Mishaberach, this guy that is going to come up. And it sort of definitely functions in many ways as a calling out that this guy should get covered. So that was my svar. I said, of course, as long as you make a Mishaberach, and that's the shul that I go to, that's the Rav's practice, that if they're going to call out by name, you shouldn't have a Hagman Glila. So my uncle was very, very unhappy about this. It's just a Mishaberach, it's not a big deal. It's clear from the Mishnah Berurah that Mishaberachs aren't such a big deal. We don't have to be chayshish. The Kaf Chaim is the only one who brought this down about Mishaberachs. So he called up, I believe he called up Shmuel Forst, and he said, I want an answer. So I want to hear what you have to say. So apparently, this is what he told me. He called me afterwards all excited. He said, Shmuel Forst laughed at him. He said, for a Mishaberach, that's not calling anybody up. That's just a Mishaberach. It's not a big deal. Of course, Hagba Glila, no problem. So he called me up. He's very excited that he was right and I was wrong. You know, at least in his shul, that's what he wants to do. But that's Hagba Glila. But let's go a little bit more. What exactly is this problem of calling people out? That you're calling this guy up and then you're calling his son up. You're calling him out and you're calling his brother up. Is the problem, like it sounds like, simply the fact that you're calling them by name, you're making sort of more of a commotion, more of a to-do, more of a announcement, and obviously everybody in shul is paying such close attention is going to hear it, and there's going to cause a sign har, going to get jealous, be a little bit put off? Or is it a little bit more specific? Is the problem, if you say Yama, Reuven ben Shimon, and Levi ben Shimon, so everybody's like, oh, they hear Shimon twice, okay, those are brothers, why are those guys both getting ordered? Reuven and then Shimon ben Reuven. You hear Reuven's name twice and you kind of notice it much more. But simply calling out the guy's name is not the issue. So that's the Shiloh. Now, the Shire Ephraim and many others say that we never find any difference between brothers from a father, brothers from a mother. Brothers are brothers. All brothers are the same. Obviously, you can't have two brothers go back to back. Now, it seems very clear, although Achim and Ha'im, brothers from only the mother's side, is not an extremely common scenario, but it does happen. There are plenty of people like that. It seems clear that the issue is not that you're calling out, you're mentioning by name, you know, Shimon ben Reuven ben Shimon and Levi ben Shimon. You're mentioning that both these guys are related. You're not mentioning outright that these guys, the relationship, it's simply the fact that you're calling them out is the problem. Another big Shiloh, which would be relevant to this question, is what about a grandfather and a grandson? Obviously, a grandfather and his grandson are not going to be called up by a shared name. You know, it's Reuven ben Yaakov, and then the other guy is not Yaakov. The father, the grandfather is not Yaakov, he's Yitzchak. So you never draw attention in your calling up to the fact that they're related. So grandparents, again, many Paiskim, the Shire Ephraim, the Shire Knesset Gedolah, they're all Machmer. There is a Pri Chadash. I could not find it, but many, many of the later Acharonim quote this Pri Chadash that allows a grandfather. But most Paiskim, Mishnah Berurah included, say even grandfathers are a problem. Now, it seems that, the problem is not that you're mentioning the relationship. It's simply once you're drawing attention to the fact that this person is getting a covet, and people put two and two together, say these guys are related, and it causes a level of ayin hara. Now, at the same time, we do find in the Mishnah Berurah and in other Paiskim that there is a big, in the Shire Ephraim, that there is a big difference. There is a big difference between, we'll call it tier one relationships, brothers from the father, full regular brothers from the father, and a father and son, versus brothers from the mother and a grandfather and a grandson. One of the big differences is what happens if you already called someone up. If you already called someone up, the Mishnah Berurah says, you know what? It's okay. Once you call them up, it's not such a big deal, you can allow it. Now, it could be the reason why it's more kal is because since they're having this internal debate, what is the lumdus? What is the understanding of the problem? Is the problem that we're calling them out by name and mentioning the relationship, or is the problem simply that we're just drawing attention to these people, and attention is never a good thing? So if we were going to say, anytime you draw any attention, don't do it, we say don't have a grandfather and a grandson get aliyahs, but if you already did it, you know what, we can rely on the fact that you didn't draw attention to the relationship and it's okay. Now, what's interesting is that Mishnah Berurah says that by a grandson you could be mekel if there was already called up. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. And then in the Shaar Tzion, in the bottom, he says, and the Shaar Ephraim writes that a brother from only the mother's side, also you could be mekel. It seems that the Mishnah Berurah is making a distinction between a grandfather and grandson versus brothers related only through the mother. I assume that the understanding over here is, the svara is that brothers, everybody knows the relationship of brothers. Brothers are krivim, brothers are one of the Zion krivim. There's a direct, immediate relationship. A grandson, even though there's a close relationship and people know about it, etc., but a grandson ultimately is not one of the Zion krivim, is not nearly as closely related, and therefore everybody agrees it's not quite as much of an ayin hara when you see a grandfather and a grandson get. Now, this is actually something which really comes up a lot, because many bar mitzvahs, you have, Baruch Hashem, you have one or two, sometimes even more grandfathers at the minyan. And if you're trying to juggle all the aliyahs, can a grandfather get with his grandson? You know, if you have a shul, as recently at shul, there was three bar mitzvahs in one Shabbos. And I believe there was, between the three of them, there was five grandfathers. So if a grandfather is not quite as chamer, because again, his relationship is not quite the same, is not quite as apparent, doesn't draw as much attention, doesn't create this ayin hara, there'd definitely be a lot more room for the Gabayim to make things work out. Especially, a lot of times you want to have the grandfather get an aliyah when his, you know, grandson is laning, and then you only have two aliyahs to do it. Anyway, now the Kavachaim does write that Ben Bitay, a grandson from a daughter, everybody's mekel. Nobody has a problem with that. It would seem, it doesn't say the Svara, it would seem that the Svara there is, you know, they don't share a last name. The relationship, in halachic relationship to a certain degree, certainly in shul relationship we would call it, is a little bit less. And it doesn't draw quite as much attention, but it's not so clear why it's so pashatim to be mekel. Now, one very interesting thing he says, the Kaf HaChaim writes, and this is obviously something that's most relevant for the Sfaradim, he says that if the grandfather and the grandson share a name, everybody agrees that it's just as chamer as a father and son. You should never have a grandfather and a grandson who share a name going to live back to back. Even though, if you really think about it, you know, the grandfather's name is Rachamim and the grandson's name is Rachamim. They're not, you know, it's not apparent that they're related, but because they share a name and they're sharing a name because they're related, you should never have them get aliyahs back to back. Now, there's a couple other discussions. I'm trying to get to jump a little bit more to the end to come back to two things. Come back to our two shilas in the beginning and to come back to a shila, which kind of bothered me throughout this whole discussion. Why is it that the Paiskim is an Indian of Ayin Hara? We don't really find Ayin Hara. Ayin Hara, people talk about it. You know, there's the lady, I'm not sure who she is and where she is, but there's the lady who takes off Ayin Haras. But we're generally in Halacha, Ayin Hara is not really such a big discussion. And here, almost all the Paiskim are really pretty, pretty strong about this Ayin Hara business. Even the Kaf HaChaim goes so far as to say, is that about certain Halachas, certain Shailas, that yes, there's some people do like this, some people do like that, but ultimately, if there's any question, any doubt, you should go and you should be machmer. And it's really, really strange to be machmer in such a thing, be machmer in Ayin Hara Inyan. So see if we can talk about that a little bit. So one more thing. What happens if a guy is not machbid? What happens if the guy says, look, it's Ayin Hara, it's just Ayin Hara, I don't really care. I don't do things for Ayin Hara, I don't pay so much attention to Ayin Hara, it's not my type of thing. And there's many, many sources in Halacha for Man Dekabed LeKabdin that the whole Inyan of Ayin Hara is really the more you're into it, the more you're makbid about it, the more you're careful about it, the more it affects you. And so is this something a guy could say, look, I bought Hagba Glila, you don't want to give Hagba Glila, but I bought Hagba Glila, I'm willing to take the risk, it's not a big deal, just let me do it. So the Eli Rabba already says that you can't. The Eli Rabba says that even if a guy says he's not makbid, we don't care. Now there is an Aruch HaShulchan. An Aruch HaShulchan says, look, if a guy doesn't care, That's how these inyanei skuli, we call them, these inyanim, which are just inyanim, that's how we deal with them. If a person doesn't pay attention, so much attention to it, it doesn't affect them as much as they don't have to. But the Eli Rab and the Mishnah Berurah paskens that even a person who doesn't care, we can't let them. So there is a tshuva from Rav Avad Yosef who says that the reason why we're so makbid is because it's so easy to avoid. It's so easy to avoid it. You just put another guy in there and make a hefsek, separate the father and son. It's such an easy thing to avoid. That's why we're so makbid, because it's just not such a big deal. If you were going to change your whole life for an Ayin Hara, okay, we would tell you, if you don't care about Ayin Hara so much, you know, Beseder, it's fine, go ahead. But if it's just a matter of giving this guy Chamishi and Shishi or Chamishi and Shvi, okay, it's not a big deal. That's what Rav Avadia seems to say, that the reason why we're so careful about it, that all the Paiskim really, the way they word it, are very strong about, generally we try very, very, very hard to be careful about this. Just because it's so easy. Now, I saw, brought from the Shari Chaim, Sefer Shari Chaim, on the Shar Ephraim, he says actually differently. He says a little bit, much more. He says like this. He says, Ayin Hara is a Sakana issue. Ayin Hara is a problem of Sakana. It's dangerous. And we know that the Rambam says that a person who says, I'm going to put myself in danger, and I don't care about the danger, I'm willing to take the risk, that Bezdin has a chiyuv to be makanei semardus. Bezdin has a chiyuv to punish the person and prevent him from putting himself in danger. It's the tzibur, it's the Bezdin's, it's the tzibur's responsibility, it's the community's responsibility to avoid allowing people to put themselves at risk. That's why we can make rules and regulations about other people being careful and being safe. And therefore, this is the same thing. Just like we can make rules about people doing things doing things in a safe way, we can make rules about not allowing people to take this terrible, terrible danger and terrible risk of an ayin hara, of an aliyah back to back. That's what he says. So we see why they're being so machmer. It's still not clear. We'll try to get to it. Why dafka in this inyan became such a thing to be so machmer and so careful about ayin hara? Well, so let's go back first to our two shilas. The two shilas that we asked at the beginning is, what would happen if you have a tzibur that's mostly brothers, mostly a father, mostly immediate relatives, father, grandson, grandfather, grandson, father, and children, son, brothers, and you have other people there? What would you do? So it would seem that if you have kind of tier two, a father, a grandfather, and grandchildren there, they certainly should be able to come first, splitting up between brothers and things like that. That would be better than putting brothers together. Now, what happens if you really have most people here are brothers? So I asked my father about this, and he said like this. He said, if something very, very mistavra, if you have to put two brothers together at any point, which if you do the math, if you have less than four non-relatives in the room, because if you have all the aliyahs, this is what happened on this past Shabbos. My father got Rishon, then somebody else got Cheni, and then my brother got Shlishi, and then somebody else got Ravi, and then my brother got Chamishi, and somebody else got Shishi, and I got Shvi, and somebody else got Acharon, and then the Bar Mitzvah Bachar, my brother, got Maftir. So that's four middle aliyahs. If you have, because you add an Acharon, you get nine aliyahs. So if you have less than four other people in the room, so you have to put two brothers together. So once you have to put two brothers together, no big deal. Just don't have to be machmer on the whole inyan. But even if there's most of the crowd is brothers, there's already an inyan of ayin hara to put two brothers together. Just from these, you know, the four people in the room who are like, oh, these bar mitzvah guys, these bar mitzvah family who taken over. That's what he's talking about. Now, when it comes to the shaila about gerim, so I was thinking like this. There's two levels to this question. Level number one is this ger and his father. They would seem to be no different than a father and a grandfather, grandfather and a grandson, because they're being called up not by a shared name, not with any indication of their relationship, yet at the same time, they are very clearly, everybody knows them, anybody who knows them knows that they are related. Now, the real question in my mind is, what about him and his brother? They're both being called up Ben Avram. It's a running joke between us that occasionally he's in Shul, and someone asks him, what's his name? He says, Mordechai Ben Avram. He doesn't like specifically point out it's Ben Avram Avinu, even though theoretically he should be called up as Ben Avram Avinu, but he doesn't like, you know, feel any need to draw attention to that. I think generally most or many Gerim nowadays don't feel a need to draw attention to that Ben Avram Avinu part. So, you know, the guy gets up there, the Gabe gets up there and says, you know, Yamoid Reb Mordechai Ben Reb Avram. So, you know, it's a little bit strange when you hear that, when you know who the Avram is, but, you know, the guy's just trying to be nice. So what happens with him and his brother? They're both being called up as Ben Avram. So they're both being called up as Ben Avram, but they're not like, it's not really their father. So in my mind, I don't really have an answer. Are they more like regular brothers, that they're both, everybody knows them as full brothers, being called up together as brothers, Ben Avram, with the same father's name? Or you could treat it a little bit differently. There should be more, at least, like a lower level of brothers from the mother, that they're not being called up, drawing attention to their brotherliness. They're just being called up, and everybody knows that they're brothers. that would seem to be the answer over there. Now, when I spoke to him last night about this, he told me that he has another friend. It has a little bit of a different shaila. This other friend, so he has a different story. He was born, his mother's Jewish, his father was not Jewish, and after he was born, his father converted. So now he has his father, who's grown up his whole life as this is his father, and it really is his father, but his father is a ger, and he's not called up with his father's name. So what about him? Again, it would seem that the same halach would apply. We would treat him as a relative that doesn't have a name that draws attention, and therefore you can be a little bit more makel, but you should still be careful about it. Now, the thing that's bothered me throughout this whole sugya is, why is it that we're so medactic and so careful? The only other time, or the main other discussion that comes up in halacha about inyanim of ayin hara, issues of ayin hara, it comes to discussions of tzavos Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. Different things that Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid said, that some were makbid on, some were not, and there's certain things, ayin hara, married the same name as your father-in-law and mother-in-law, and things like that. That's really the only time. So I saw Rabbi Avadia, the same tshuva. He says like this. He says, you might think that nowadays we should be extra makbid about ayin hara, because nowadays we find the sitra achra, the kayach hatoma, so much stronger than it ever was, so we should be very careful about these inyani segula. But he says, no, it's not true. Because we find there's a Tais in Chulin. The Tais in Chulin in Kav Zayin says that all these inyanim of ayin hara and things like that, and ruach ro and zugais and other things that are inyani skule, they went away a long time ago. Even though the Gemara says that ayin hara is such a terrible thing, such a strong thing, and so dangerous for so many people, and all sorts of, the Gemara is filled with ruach ro and all sorts of things that we're very careful about. Taisa already says we're not really careful about any of that, because all those things went away. Those kaychas went away. So Ravadia says the pshat is, the reason is because all these inyani seguli, they come from kaychas that are drawn to kedusha. They're nourished and nurtured by kedusha. And therefore nowadays we don't have as much kedusha in this world. And because we don't have as much kedusha in this world, so these inyanim just don't have as much power and don't have as much effect, and therefore we don't have to be careful about them. And that's why in general, for the most part, people are really not so careful about ayin hara. So based on this, I thought, that's really why we're so careful about ayin hara. This one halach of ayin hara that remains, by Kriyas HaTorah specifically, is because by Kriyas HaTorah, where there's so much kedusha, you're standing up there by the Torah, and you're having the people read the Torah, and the way the Paiskim talk about the way we set up the Kriyas HaTorah, that's like the giving of the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Tzibur right then. There's so much Kedusha, so much power in that moment that we both, there's some real actual power of the Ayin Hara, there's real power of these Kaychas, because there's so much Kedusha right there and then that we don't want to allow that Ayin Hara to have power, and it has real power. At the same time, you could say a little bit different, we want to draw attention to the fact that the kayach of the kedusha of the moment, and we want to be careful about inyani ayahar because of the kedusha of the moment, to show how chashav and how special and how kaddish and how powerful this moment is, we want to be extra careful. By showing this carefulness, we remind ourselves how amazing and how unbelievable an opportunity it is to hear Kriyas HaTorah every single time we do. And that could be, that's why we're medactic on Kriyas HaTorah. Now, one more thing I was thinking is that really we find the Gemaras, there's kind of two different Gemaras that talks about fathers, grandfathers learning with their sons. The Gemara says that someone who teaches his son Torah, it's as if he taught his son and his grandson and his great-grandson, L'dayri Dayris Torah. Same Gemara, because it says in the Pasuk, V'idatim levonecha levnei vonecha, you'll teach your sons and your grandsons. By teaching your sons as if you teach your grandsons. Same Gemara says, a grandfather who learns with his grandson, it's like mamash as if he's Makabal and Har Sinai. So you would think that having Kriyas HaTorah, having a father and a son, or a grandfather and a grandson, that'd be the most amazing way to have Kriyas HaTorah. Because that's Ki'il Kibla Me'Har Sinai. It's the Messiah of Torah from father to son. But at the same time, we find other Gemaras that bring out a different nekuda, bring this different aspect, and that is that we have to be very careful that although personally giving over the Torah to your own son, to learn with your own son, is such a special and chashav thing, but communally, as a tzibur, as Klal Yisrael, the Torah is not limited to one family and one family unit and one group of people. The Torah is everybody's. And we want to be very, very careful that chas v'shalom, nobody should think that this father and his son and his grandson and, and the whole family tree, those are the guys that have the Torah. No, every single one of us, Yerushasi Gabach, that every single one has the Yerusha of the Torah. So we have this dynamic of, on one hand, for us personally, is a tremendous, tremendous chashivas of Torah coming from your father to son, to grandson, to learn with your son. It's so chashiv and so special. But at the same time, understand that the Torah as a whole isn't limited to one family, isn't limited to your Torah that you teach your son, you learn with your son and grandson. Torah has to be all of Klal Yisrael together. And that's why, specifically by Kriyas HaTorah, we want to make sure to remind us that Torah is for everybody, and everybody has the opportunity, and it's not limited to one family. And that's what will make it that the Torah will have a kiyum from all of Klal Yisrael, fathers, sons, and grandsons giving it over in their own way, but all of the tzibur having it all together on their own.